Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 2nd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to study the events that are taking place around us day by day. We thank you that you continue to point these things out to us so that we might clearly see the events that will come to pass. We ask that you fill us today with strength and the kind of preparation that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you that is found in the website of the Center for American Progress. The website again, Center for American Progress. The date of the publication is February the 7th, 2017. That would be February the 7th, 2017. And the writer of the article is Claire Markham. Last name spelled M-A-R-K-H-A-M. Claire Markham. The title of the article is The Trump Administration's Dangerous Attempt to Redefine Religious Liberty. The title again, The Trump Administration's Dangerous Attempt to Redefine Religious Liberty. Now remember, we have been talking about religious liberty in our recent other articles. This one I'd like to share with you today. Again, the title, The Trump Administration's Dangerous Attempt to Redefine Religious Liberty. Here's the article. Religious liberty is a fundamental American value, protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. Free exercise of religion and freedom from government-endorsed religion are cherished rights that belong to all people. The importance of religious liberty in American history and as a core tenet of American democracy is precisely why it must be safeguarded from those who seek to manipulate it for their own political ends. Although the Trump administration has only been in power for a few weeks, its message on religious freedom is clear. It wants to redefine religious liberty to only protect people who share its vision of faith. This comes at a steep cost to the fundamental American value of religious freedom for all. It also dangerously marginalizes people of faith who do not share the Trump administration's views, many of whom are already vulnerable to rising incidents of anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim bigotry. In recent days, the administration has taken a number of actions that threaten to undermine true religious freedom. President Donald Trump on January the 22nd Execution Act on Refugee prohibits travel to the United States for nationals of 7 Muslim-majority nations. The order suspends entirely refugee admissions for a 120-day period with a narrow exception for certain persecuted religious minorities and fundamentally reshapes the refugee admissions program after that day to prioritize the claims of Christians. The impact of this is undeniable. Trump has ordered a Muslim ban in violation of the core value of religious freedom for all. Democrats have rebuked President Trump's call for a Muslim registry. Politicians across the aisle have warned that the travel ban hurts national security, and people of faith are taking action to demand the Muslim ban be rescinded, in addition to large demonstrations at international airports throughout the country, calling for the release of immigrants and refugees stuck in the limbo of the post-ordered chaos. Hundreds of people of faith stood in solidarity with immigrants and refugees outside the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., on February the 2nd. Also on January the 27th, which is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the White House released a statement that did not mention Jews. When pressed about this break previous presidential statements that centered on Jewish victims, 3 administration officials defended the decision, saying the statement was meant to be inclusive of all Holocaust victims. In fact, the White House stopped the State Department from releasing its own statement, which did include mention of Jews' sufferings. Senator Tim Kaine called the statement Holocaust denial. Jewish organizations across the political spectrum denounced the erasure of Jews, and many were incredulous that the Muslim ban could be issued on a day marking remembrance of the Holocaust, noting that the United States turned back Jewish refugees trying to escape Nazi rule, many of whom ultimately perished. On February the 1st, a leaked draft executive order titled Establishing a Government-Wide Initiative to Respect Religious Freedom sparked further concern about the administration's narrow view of religious liberty. If enacted, the executive order would provide sweeping exemptions from a large number of federal laws covering virtually all areas of life for those people and organizations with a particular set of morals or religious convictions. Namely, if enacted, the order would exempt from federal laws people and organizations, including for-profit businesses, who act on the belief that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, sex is properly reserved for such a marriage, gender is immutable from birth, and or life begins at conception. So in other words, let me pause here to let you know that that is one of the executive orders that they have been putting in place, so that if you engage in some sort of homosexuality or same-sex marriage, or for that matter, contraception in some places. Notice what it is saying here, that birth begins at conception. All right? This is something that we will have to deal with in the future. But you're beginning to understand how this is heading, where this is heading. Continuing, the impact of such an order would be devastating. Millions of workers would be vulnerable to being discriminated against or fired if they did not share these definitions of marriage, gender, and or family. The government would have no recourse against individuals or organizations using federal dollars and discriminating against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender or LGBT people, women who have had abortions, people of faith with different views, and or their families, whether in government services, housing, healthcare, homeless shelters, or virtually all other areas of life. The undeniable impact of such language is why a recent Mississippi law with very similar language was fought by many, including faith leaders, and was struck down before it could go into effect. On the same day the draft executive order leaked, hundreds of faith leaders from across the country and a variety of faiths signed a letter imploring the president not to insert religious exemptions into the executive order and other federal policies, asserting that doing so betrays the values we stand for as people of faith and conscience. In fact, majorities of every major religious group support non-discrimination protection for LGBT people. Further, the White House recent statement that the president plans to keep former President Barack Obama's executive order protecting LGBT workers from discrimination by federal contracts does not ensure that LGBT people will continue to be protected. If the Trump administration were to insert a sweeping exemption into that order, it would undermine the government's ability to enforce those protections. And it would elevate the underlying concern that such language preferences concern faith perspective over others. People of faith have a variety of views on marriage, family, gender identity, sexuality, and abortion, and the government should not promote one set of views over another. Also, in the leaked draft executive order described above is direction to the IRS not to enforce a tax code provision known as the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment prevents charitable organizations such as houses of worship from endorsing or opposing political campaigns while they enjoy tax-exempt status. At the National Prayer Breakfast, Trump reiterated a campaign promise to get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment, which means, of course, let me just pause to say, which means, of course, that if you are a church, you can support the Johnson Amendment says that you cannot maintain your tax-exempt status and continue to support a political party as a church. But what they want to do here is to remove that Johnson Amendment allowing churches to support candidates and to support political parties and to become directly involved in all aspects of political life. Not only would revoking or failing to enforce the Johnson Amendment expose houses of worship to immense political pressure and potential manipulation by political parties, but it would also create a dark money loophole for political donations. And should the administration's move to end enforcement of the Johnson Amendment come with language similar to the draft executive order. It could mean that only houses of worship that oppose marriage equality and abortion access would be free to engage in politics, while congregations that support LGBT equality and women's health rights and justice could still lose their tax-exempt status. So, narrowly tailoring religious liberty and only recognizing one segment of the faith community devastates the security of true religious freedom for all. While it might suit the current administration to enshrine conservative Christian beliefs into law, pretend there is not a variety of faith perspectives on marriage and family, and erase Muslims and Jews from the narrative of what makes America great, all people of faith and those who support true religious liberty should be on high alert. Otherwise, religious liberty stands to become simply another name for protecting the religion of those in power. And that's the end of the article written by Claire Markham, who is the Associate Director for the Faith and Progressive Political Initiative at the Center for American Progress. Now, of course, this is a very serious description of where we are heading. And of course, we know, based on what God has told us, that this is exactly where we will end up. A certain kind of Christianity will be enforced. And when you hear people say that America is a Christian nation, that sounds great on the outside. But then you would have to ask the question, what kind of Christianity are you referring to? What are the belief systems involved in that kind of Christianity? And what happens if people do not comply with that kind of belief system? Will they be punished? Will they be persecuted? Will they be martyred? Will they be imprisoned? Will they be killed? Those are questions that must be answered. And of course, God has already warned us in advance of all of these things that are about to come to pass. There's another article that I found in the Catholics for Choice website. That's the Catholic for Choice website. And the title is very similar to the one that we read just now. The title is Bishops Seek to Redefine Religious Liberty. The title again, Bishops Seek to Redefine Religious Liberty. Now notice the website, Catholics for Choice. Here's that article. The latest salvo from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops marks a new battle line in their campaign to deny religious freedom to all Americans. Published today, Our First Most Cherished Liberty, a document outlining the bishops' campaign, was developed by the USCCB Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty. John O'Brien, president of Catholics for Choice, issued the following statement, quote, "The USCCB seems to think that it has the right to redefine religious liberty. It does not. The U.S. Constitution is very clear that religious liberty includes freedom of religion as well as freedom from religion, despite the best efforts of the bishops to pretend otherwise." A well-publicized statement from Cardinal Timothy Dolan in Easter week acknowledged that the Catholic hierarchy has a lot of work to do in educating Catholics about the bishops' teachings. This new document from the bishop is an odd way to start, by seeking to insert themselves into political debates that take on extra importance in an election year. The principles of religious liberty and freedom of conscience are foundational ones for Catholics, as indeed they are all for Americans, and they have been codified in the Constitution to protect against religious intrusions in our lives, such as the ones the bishops are now trying to impose. The bishops have been pursuing the religious liberty theme for some time now. They set up an ad hoc committee in 2011 and convinced the Pope that there was a major issue in American politics when they met with him in January. Their strategy is twofold. They have sought to redefine religious liberty so that it is limited to policies and issues that they support, and in order for them to get their way, they are happy to deny the religious liberty to those who wish to be free from the dictates of the U.S. bishops. The bishops, indeed, of freedom means that employers and not medical professionals should choose which safe, preventive, legal medications and procedures their employees can access and which they can't. This means, for example, that without shouldering unreasonable expense, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women would not be able to use family planning to decide when or whether to become pregnant or even to protect their health. The bishops, indeed, of the bishop's idea of religious liberty proposes that one narrow interpretation of one religious tradition should be allowed to run roughshod over the religious beliefs of every single American. The ruling from the Department of Health and Human Services on contraception addresses a pressing public health issue, protecting women's health. The bishops have failed to convince Catholics in the pews to follow their prohibitions on contraceptions. Now they want the government to grant them the legal right to require each of us, Catholic and non-Catholic alike, to set aside our own guaranteed freedom from government-sanctioned religious interference in our lives. This is a strange definition of the common good, a central Catholic belief. The bishop's concept of religious liberty means they would get the liberty to deny our liberty. The bishop's statement argues that their consciences are being violated by the government. This misuse of the term conscience may be their own disingenuous deviation from common understanding. Catholics believe that each person has a conscience, an inviolable and personal inner core that informs our decision-making and compels each of us to act in the way that we have decided is morally correct. Whether in religion or in public life, we all understand the notion of conscientious objection. Sometimes people of good will cannot, in good conscience, just follow orders. But in the face of these widely accepted principles, the bishops are trying to find a workaround that a hospital, a university, and an HMO all have the conscience that can be offended by offering the healthcare coverage guarantee to all American employees. In the bishop's view, their consciences, or even the wholly imaginary institutional conscience, trump that of the individual, and they want special exemptions written into law to prove it. Religious freedom is an expansive rather than a restricted idea. It has two sides, freedom of religion and freedom from religion. It is not about telling people what they can and cannot believe or practice, but rather about respecting an individual's right to follow his or her own conscience in religious belief and practices, as well as in moral decision-making. The protections we put in place to preserve religious freedom do not and should not be considered to permit religious institutions or individuals to obstruct or coerce the exercise of another's conscience. And of course, that is a serious article. And you notice that they're saying it quite clearly. These people who are connected to the Catholic Church, the title of the website is Catholics for Choice. Bishops seek to redefine religious liberty. What they're saying is that these bishops are calling religious liberty their liberty to enforce their kind of Christianity and their kind of cultural practice upon everybody else who is around them. We, of course, have been warned of this, and we're heading towards this rather quickly. And as a matter of fact, when these people are able to come out and speak about this in open right now, what it means is that they are almost home with their plan. They're almost home in the Congress. They're almost home in the Senate. They're almost home in the White House. They are in total control of the direction in which we are heading. You and I need to be ready. We need to understand that we must know what we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it. We cannot afford to be ignorant of the truth. We will spend some time with God's Word, some personal time with God's Word. And even though we appreciate you listening to this program every day, this cannot fulfill your obligations to studying God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness day by day. We thank you that you have given us your Word and preserved that Word in spite of so many who have tried to destroy it and subvert it. But we thank you for the clarity of your Word, so that we might study and understand the truth for ourselves. We ask today that you would help us to be prepared for the time to come as we look around and we see the beginnings of the fulfillment of all that you have told us in advance. We ask that you would give us the strength necessary so that we will be willing to stand and not be subverted and not be tricked into following some error but that we will only commit to the truth that you have given, that our hearts might live and grow in truth, and ultimately we be saved eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, January the 2nd, 2020.